back on the Rule of Three. Tim Slagle here. Over on the other side, Mr. Brian Miller.
Hello.
Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking about Brian's New Year's gig later in the show. We're also going to be talking about the Queen of England, who has not made a public appearance in quite some time. But to start off, I think the thing that everybody's talking about, that it's sweeping coast to coast, it is a scandal of massive proportions. Apparently, Mariah Carey lip syncs.
Yeah, which is kind of the, it's like, well, yeah, of course, right?
Anytime there's an elaborate stage show with lots of dancing, you kind of expect it.
I mean, that's one of those things where it's like, okay, go try to dance around for 3 minutes and keep singing a song, even an easy one. And then tell me that you know what I mean? You just can't do it. You can kind of do one or the other, but you can't do both.
I have thought I could do it. but apparently the next morning, my friends assured me that I completely failed.
I wonder if you and Mariah have the same dealer. But it's funny. I just now recently watched the video when we were talking about it just a few minutes ago, because I'd come back from my New Year's show and sort of saw that people were talking about it and kind of sussed out from the jokes, like what had happened. But it just, I don't know, I didn't watch the video and I went to bed, didn't think much about it. So it kind of passed me by and I just watched it and, woo, it is pretty bad.
Yeah, my favorite joke about it is it's Mariah Carey sabotaged by Russian hacking, and she's holding a Stolichnaya bottle. Because that's one of the speculations, is that Mariah started a little early.
That always is with her, because she does seem to, at least from the public's perspective, behave somewhat erratically at times. Also, there's the thing, though, that like whatever work she's had done to her face has her eyes sort of wide popped, and she has a sort of shocked expression on her face as like the default.
And she's always looking out the corner of her eye. Have you noticed that? Every picture of her is out the corner of her eye.
That is interesting.
I wonder. I can't help but wonder if they're not frozen like that, and she has to turn her head like a lizard if she wants to look. If she wants to look around.
But apparently, she claimed that they intentionally set her up to fail, or at least unintentionally set her up to fail. And then Dick Clark's company came back and said that is defamation. That is ridiculous. I don't know why. Why would you? Although now the flip side is she's going to probably claim my vocal tracks weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Right.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well, the first sign that there was trouble is as she's going down the staircase, she has to ask help of the dancers to get down to. That's what she said. Can you help me down here?
Yeah.
And granted, those were some rather tall platforms that she had on, but that shouldn't have been an issue. I mean, she should have. You think. At some point before she got onto the stage, she said, oh, there's no way I can walk in these.
They rehearsed it one time, and you go, oh, when I come down these stairs, you guys are going to need to help me.
Right. Well, and they forgot?
No, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, maybe she didn't rehearse.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe when she rehearsed, she was completely steady down the stairs, but somehow the shoes got a little wobblier closer to midnight. I had a pair of shoes like that.
I mean, if it was the company's fault, then it was – if it was the company – Dick Clark's company's fault, she certainly didn't help her case by seeming to be off her game right out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's from what I understand, and I've seen a couple perspectives, I know someone who actually does sound professionally. And actually has worked with many of the top stars. He's informed me that he does that a lot of the artists who are known for lip syncing, mm-hmm. do actually try to sing, and they actually just turn down their mic.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
run the,
interesting.
Running the recording over it. And I asked him if he could actually get me a track of certain celebrities that will remain unnamed.
Sure.
That he's worked with. And he said, no. No. He said, that is the sure way to never work again in the industry.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like being a film editor and you're like, yeah, by the way, Meg Ryan's boob fell out and I have the, you know, I've got the tapes or
it's
something.
It's more than that. It's being a magician's assistant telling them how the saw and half trick works.
Yeah, that's an excellent. Yep.
And
comparison.
So, his claim is there is no way that the sound guys were responsible. It's he's taken the side of the sound guys. He said that with that kind of a show, with that kind of magnitude and importance, there is absolutely no way the sound guys would have botched it.
I mean, here's the other, you know, the other circumstantial evidence is it's not like in the rest of the production, like floodlights were falling onto the stage and cables right. were snapping and podiums were toppling over. It's like, well, everything else seemed to go well except for this one particular part.
Yeah. His claim, and as a professional in the industry, his claim is that she's lazy. That she doesn't, that she probably skipped the rehearsal.
Sure.
That she probably did, that she can't hit the notes. And that's what somebody else pointed out is in the first song, she was supposed to sing.
Clearly, because there's no, it's like a backing track, but it's not a full vocal track.
Right, but what you have is the high notes.
Yeah, oh, right. You hear those squealy, awful. I always, by the way, side semi tangent. I grew up in the era of Mariah Carey when she was a big old deal, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And
that's when she could look out both side corners of her eye.
Well, I had a, you know, I have a nostalgic fondness for plenty of bad music from that era. But oh my God, I've always, her music is just unlistenable to me. Those shrieky high notes and the wailing. Oh, Mariah is a guaranteed way to get me lurching for the radio dial. Oh, God, it sounds like somebody's blowing a dog whistle into a tuba or something. It's just got this tinny resonance. Oh,
I'm actually listening to a Neil Gaiman book.
Which one?
The name escapes me at the moment.
What's it about? I'm just curious.
It's the one about the London Underground.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. It's not called Underworld.
No.
Neverwhere.
That's it, Neverwhere.
Yeah.
And there was one analogy there that is fitting. It says it sounded like a chalkboard being dragged over thousands of dismembered fingers.
You know, the funny thing is though, in these modern times, as it were, this is like a good thing for Mariah Carey. This just translates into more publicity. So then she comes out and has a good performance. And then everyone's like, oh, look, she's back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's is the next time she has a public appearance, which I don't think will be the Super Bowl.
No.
Who is the Super Bowl this year? Do you know?
I do because they named it a long time ago. I forget because I wrote jokes about it for Kostaki.
Yeah. But forgot.
Yeah. But no, it's definitely not Mariah Carey. Although they always have special guests, but no, they'll find some way. She'll do a Tonight Show, or I don't know, who knows what she'll do. She'll
right.
do something.
It'll be most watched because people are going to go, ooh, is she going to do it again?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying how intentional. I certainly don't think she intentionally screwed it up, but she certainly takes advantage of that thing that I think Madonna does very intentionally, knowing that like, if you really want to stick around as a celebrity, occasionally you have to like burn the field a little bit. You know, you gotta, you know, you need that death cycle to rise back as the phoenix, and you can actually do it a whole bunch of times. But it, you know, only like Tom Hanks can maintain solid goodwill for 3 decades.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is a really good point. That it actually, you know, and she is an oldies act now.
Oh, totally.
It's.
I mean, she's a young oldies act, but yeah, she's officially a State Fair nostalgia throwback tour that still managed to fill arenas. To her credit, you know. But
yeah. It's. I mean, her career dates to is I think is previous to a Kurt Cobain shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. She was big before that. She was big when she was like 17 or 18, I think.
Right.
A long time ago. And speaking of time, we're out of it.
But he saw.
Welcome back to the Rule of Three. We're going to be talking about Brian's New Year's gig in just a few minutes. But right now, someone who did not have a particularly good New Year's was Queen Elizabeth. Is she the second?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Queen Elizabeth II did not appear in church on Sunday morning, which I don't know if you know this. I don't know. How into a Christian a trivia you are? Do you know what January 1st actually is, Brian Miller?
Who? All Souls Day?
Nope. Yeah. Nope. That's the day after Halloween.
That's the day after Halloween. That's what I was thinking. That was
I'm not even gonna give you another guess because being that far off.
No, I don't. I don't know.
You will never guess this. It is the Feast of the Circumcision.
Ah, that sounds like a terrible restaurant.
Don't touch the calamari.
I've never wanted to be a vegetarian so bad in my life.
Exactly,
I thought they already had that restaurant. It's called Medieval Times. Boom! There we go. All right, I feel good about that one.
It was always interesting to me, and it was one of my most early bits that should have signaled that I should get out of comedy, was the fact that that Christ was actually born 7 days B.C. Technically,
that's true.
It's he did not become Christ until they removed the holy foreskin.
Oh, is that why? Really?
I don't know why.
You see,
that's the joke.
Yeah. No, it kind of, I don't know. Yeah, it could be with all.
Yeah.
I'm so hung up on Feast of the Circumcision, I can't even tell you. I feel like if I was circumcised, I would be maybe want a snack. But a feast is way too much.
And according to, I looked it up. I was talking about it with someone who actually knew more Catholic trivia than I did. And they said that, and I looked it up, and yes, sure enough, there are several churches across Europe that claim to have it.
Oh, I'm sure.
They all dispute who actually has the real one, which, you know, I'm sure it wasn't saved. Are those things saved? I don't know.
Actually, I'll tell you exactly what happens with them. If you're being technical, according to Jewish law, you have the moel come over. And the moel does the slice and the dice. And then you, the father, take the foreskin out in the backyard and you bury it.
Huh. Huh. Fascinating.
Yep. That's a specific, I know that because I wish I could remember the person, but it's either a writer or a comedian did the same thing, but they suffered a significant calamity when they let their dog out into the backyard a little bit later. True story, not mine.
It's even getting further from the topic of the Queen. One of my favorite stories was David Carradine married Barbara Hershey, and they had a child in the middle of the hippie era,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to eat the placenta.
Oh, right. That was sort of a famous thing for a while, yeah.
Yeah, and so the doctor wrapped it up and gave it to him, and they unwrapped it and looked at it and said, we should maybe plant a peach pit in it and bury it in the backyard.
Yeah.
And then it will eat the peach in 20 years.
Yeah, that sounds like a much better idea.
It was the day New Age died for both of them.
Here's my theory. I love this idea. I like the idea that the reason the Queen missed church is that she like read a Richard Dawson book and she's like, you know, it's all BS. I don't. Or Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawson.
Yeah, I read a Richard Dawson book. It's My Time on the Feud.
Yeah, Richard Dawson gave her a hug and a kiss on the cheek and she renounced. No, I think she read Dawkins or, you know, Sam Harris or something, and she's like, he just cuts right through it.
Yeah.
She watched Religulous.
I wish that what you are saying is true, but she is 90 years old. She is, I think she's the longest to sit on the throne in history. And the entire I could be wrong on that, but you know, you'd think, you know, Queens didn't live till 90.
Yeah, you think they'll retire a jersey?
And I think my speculation is that she's probably a lot sicker than they're leading on. They're saying it's just a cold, and you know, even a cold at 90 is a serious matter. But my guess is they don't know what to do now, because nobody wants Prince Charles to be king.
No, everybody wants the kid.
And everybody wants the kid except for Prince Charles.
I don't blame him. He's like, I've been waiting for this lady to die. Like, he's an old man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Would you like me to wax the floors, Mum?
Put it this way.
Charlie, no. Put that floor wax away. I'm not falling for it.
Yeah, I mean, if I had been – being the prince is basically like being the president-elect. If I'd been the president-elect for 60 years, if I had to go by the kind of diminutive, in a way, title of prince, you can damn well bet I'm going to be the king for a little while.
60 years is probably longer than that. It's probably more like 70.
Yeah, at least Wallace and what's his name, got to the other guy, at least when he renounced his kinghood or whatever, he got a lady out of the deal.
So it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Charlie has been, like, you know, up in the Tower of London looking at that crown.
Oh, yeah.
Longingly for 70 years. And now it's to the point where it's about to happen. And I don't think – I think they're saying, well, can we fake it long enough? Can we – what it reminds me of is when a communist leader dies. Because when a communist leader dies, they never know exactly what they're going to do, and the country panics, because, or at least the inner party panics, because they don't want to go leaderless for a second. So it's you know it's a pretty running joke that communist leaders will disappear for months before they announce the death.
Yeah, and I think didn't they, even on a smaller scale, they said that Castro turned out to have died like 4 days before we found out. Or something, and that's what they say.
Well, that's what they say.
I mean, it could be 40 days, but I mean, at the very least, it wasn't, you know, it was several days.
I don't know if he had been seen in a year.
Yeah, and of course, he certainly could have been just alive and ailing in bed. It's certainly possible.
Yeah, always possible.
But you never know. I mean,
you know, with Yeltsin, it was like Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, totally.
But that was just. But turns out he was just drunk.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know. I'm actually interesting. I can't reveal too much. I'm working on a little project about that exact time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. I actually was just in contact with a Russian translator.
Huh.
Yeah.
And in case you're panicking here, this is our normal time to cut off. It has nothing to do with censorship.
Yeah, it's not at all that Vladimir Putin just called my cell phone.
It's the end of the segment. Something says the right thing. Something, but something, just something to make you feel better. To make me feel
worse. I think I could feel better. And here on the final segment of Rule of Three, as promised, little story about my New Year's gig.
Happy New Year to you,
yeah,
by the way.
And Happy New Year to you. You said yours was low key, yeah?
Real low key. I spent New Year's Eve dusting my projector.
Is that a euphemism? Because if so, you don't need to share that. And by the way, I'm never watching a movie at your house, but it's a trap. I had a New Year's gig in Alexandria, Minnesota, which is a fairly small town. In outstate Minnesota.
Been there, worked there?
Yeah, and it's a little kind of a resort town. There's a lot of lakes around there. Very nice gig, big audience, ballroom, several comics. You know, the booker took real good care of us.
It would probably be the same venue, since most of these places still do comedy. I think I did a Halloween gig there.
It was a big, it was like a community, it was like an event center.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't in the hotel. It was next to a hotel.
Okay.
But it was a big. It was a good spot for it. And but I you know, I was, my wife has only really ever been to comedy in the cities. And so she wanted to come along to this gig, and I was telling her, you know, these outstate gigs are a little different. You know, I said, this is going to be good. It's going to be well run. It's going to be full.
Has she never traveled with you to the outstate gigs before?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, my wife doesn't. I mean, honestly, she probably goes to 2 comedy shows a year, max.
Uh-huh.
And so it's almost always to Acme. Every now and then Corner Bar.
So she has no idea that you're doing that John Travolta bit.
Oh, no, she's seen... Oh, I do that at Acme. Oh, that's my closer. She knows that I do these gigs, but, like, you know, I've, of course, told her stories, but, you know, it's one thing to hear the story, and it's one thing to be there, and it's also, you know, there's a lot of trappings of bar gigs that an experienced road comic doesn't really bat an eye at. Like, if you pull up to a gig in the middle of nowhere, and there's 40 snowmobiles parked in front of the bar, you just go, okay.
Gonna be a good night.
You know, like, that is sort of a weird thing to, you know, a non-road comedian, I guess. And so we went, and it was a perfectly nice place, but it's classic outstate Minnesota. You know, could just as easily, by the way, have happened in Wisconsin or North Dakota or South Dakota. You know, your classic camouflage crowd. Which I realize, by the way, they're actually pretty smart, because if you live in one of those towns where everybody wears camouflage, technically your camouflage probably kind of works. Think about that. But the great sight of the night that my wife was sort of delighted and stunned at was when we watched a fellow write a check for one Budweiser. Which, by the way, in outstate Minnesota goes for like 3 1/4. You know, it's not a tall dollar purchase.
Tops.
Yeah. Oh, no, right.
I was thinking it might have been dollar night.
It was just New Year's, you know. They were upscale pricing.
The prices,
you
know? Yeah. Yeah, premium pricing.
Everybody pays out the nose on New Year's. You got to go 3 1/4 for one of them Budskis there. It's not even select.
And I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with some of the behaviors of the Great Northern Plains, but that's not unusual.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was like, I was like, oh, dude's writing a check, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh. It was like, yeah, sometimes you see people writing checks. Like
the first time I saw it, I think was probably Minot, North Dakota. Somebody said, can I buy you a beer? And I always, you know, even if I get the drinks for free, I always, well, I shouldn't be saying this, but tough. I always take the beer because it, the club likes you to sell drinks.
Well, and you know, the other thing I will say to that, people want to buy you a beer. Sometimes
yeah,
if you
too.
Say I'm drinking for free, they're a little disappointed.
Yes. And yeah, absolutely.
And you know, my policy on that is that I'll take the beer, but I'm not going to like make some nice guy, unless he looks real rich. You know, I'm not going to ask for a Knob Creek on the Rocks or something too extravagant.
I do. I'm a prick. But and the same thing happened was they gave him the total, and he pulled out his checkbook and started writing a check, and it was. The first time I saw it, it was so peculiar. But after working in that area for a number of years, I never thought twice about it. You see people write checks at places where no one else writes. You'll see people at McDonald's writing checks for a Happy Meal.
I mean, the only place that you expect to see checks, I feel like anymore. I mean, at home, I still pay some bills, certain bills with checks. I still send snail mail bills to a few things. Some things, not some things. But, like, the only place that I'm in public that I'm prepared to see a check is really the grocery store.
Yep. Yep.
Anywhere else, you're just like, what are you doing? I mean, they feel so antiquated now.
Grocery store, doctor's office, maybe.
Yeah, doctor's office. There's another one. Yep, doctor's office. Especially if you think, like, you know, you might have a $600 bill to pay. Okay.
Sure.
That might even be over your credit
card. Well, more than that, you want to make sure that I want to make sure I have that receipt.
Yes, right.
It's, if I'm paying comics for a gig, I'll write them a check.
Yes, sure.
It's you know, definitely, you know, anything deductible gets a check, but you know, but a Budweiser.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, if he, I mean, he probably had another one later, which meant
no.
Whip that checkbook back out.
It's like, oh my gosh, what a night I sure had. Look at, I'm out of checks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. It was a seven-check night. Woo, boy. New Year's. But, it's, you know, check is one of the things that has become so quickly antiquated. It's interesting what becomes super old.
Yeah.
You know, like, how weird would it be if I would have told you in 1992 that in 2017 a check would be bizarre and vinyl records would be common? That wouldn't have seemed plausible.
No, that would not have made sense. But then again, you know, it's where we are now with cash, is what science fiction has predicted forever.
Yeah,
it's science fiction long told us that that we would be in a day when you would just deal with credits.
Yep. And they always call them credits in the thing. Yeah. They never call them dollars. You know, it's always like, oh, that this will be 37 credits for this space armor. You know,
to make it sound even more more strange.
Yeah,
it's I'm on episode 2 of Black Mirror.
Ah,
and that's the one where he you earn the credits on the bicycle.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, that really was a good one. Well, the one before that was even better. That was the one with the pig.
That's one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen in my life. It's great, but it's genuinely upsetting.
What a wonderful debut episode, but we're straying from the topic, I think.
Yes, but yeah, no, that is, yeah. Checks, that is also still a province of older people. I mean, I think young people sometimes look surprised when if you expect cash.
Yeah. Yeah, cash is not used at all. But the checkbook, yes, it is something old people do. But it's not that way in the Northern Plains. And also, there's places that just won't take checks.
Most places anymore, really.
Yeah, it's you know, my auto mechanic would not take a check. It's well, from anyone else, he took them from me because you know. He made a fortune off of it because I don't believe in throwing cars away.
Just money. It's the sad thing about the end of the check is we no longer get the check shame wall when the bad checks get put under the glass at the gas station or up on the thing. I love that.
Well, I'll bet you they still do that though, and I'll bet you people write checks at the gas station. I'll bet you if you go to a North Dakota gas station, you will see checks on the wall.
Maybe. There's a great used bookstore in Chicago right off the Wellington stop. I believe it's called Rare, Medium, and Well. It's been there forever. It's owned by this wonderfully eccentric older dude with a beard who is delightful but not necessarily conventionally dedicated to customer service. And he has a wall of check shame, and one of the checks that's been on that wall, I check on it every time I come back. This guy, I think Richard Brower, he was a kind of a dirtbag lawyer in Chicago who wound up selling off all of his law books to pay for his booze habit. And he used to come to the bookstore where my wife worked and sell off books and then go into his car and like make shady deals. I always look for that guy's check and then the insult written on it. Every time I go in there, it's like a little Blarney Stone when I visit Chicago. So everyone if you're in Chicago, go to Rare, Medium, and Well off the Wellington stop, buy some books, and check and see if that check's still there for me.
And I think that brings us to the end of the segment.
Check, please.
All the episodes, timslegel.com and on iTunes.
Yep, and at brianmillercomedy.com and realbrianmiller. And and I just posted a bunch of updates to my schedule. So if you want to see where I'm going to be, go to the website. I'll be in Madison and all over Wisconsin and Boise, Idaho, and more to come.
Other than that, see you next week.
See you next week.